Hello, and happy Easter. Feels a strange thing to say this Easter, doesn't it? I suspect for a lot of us it won't be that happy an Easter. Maybe you're feeling this. Maybe you're missing friends and family you'd ordinarily celebrate Easter with. I'm really missing being together with you. I wish we could be together to celebrate Easter. It's always a special day. It's frustrating. Online church isn't really the same, is it? And personally, I'm a bit Zoom called out. I feel like I'm living on Zoom at the moment. I'd much rather be face-to-face, talking to you, looking at you now. But that's not the way it can be. We're all doing our part to help keep each other safe. It's a good thing to be doing. But it's also really good to be still keeping looking at God's Word together. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to keep looking at our series on some of the words and the phrases that Jesus said as he died on the cross on that first Good Friday. So we're going to do that now by reading a bit of the Bible. Nathan's going to read John chapter 19, verses 28, 29 and 30. So if you've got a Bible to hand or on your phone, maybe get that up. Keep that open during the rest of this sermon. John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30.
Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. So today we're looking at probably my favourite words of all the words that Jesus ever said. It is finished. I love that phrase. I love these words. I've got them tattooed on my arm. Some of you may know that. One day when we're together, maybe I could show you that again. I love these words, and I love them because I think they're the most important and most amazing news that anybody could ever be told. It is finished. These three simple words in English all come from one ancient Greek word, but these three simple words can change everything about your life when you begin to understand what it's talking about. And they particularly change everything when you know that you have an it. We all have an it, even if we don't realize it. Maybe you really know what your it is. Now by an it, I mean that stuff that you hope no one ever finds out about you. The things that you try and keep hidden and secret about yourself. Maybe that's just ways that you find yourself acting and behaving again and again and again. So that could be, I don't know, anger or bitterness or just not trusting God or greed or selfishness. Maybe that's lust or materialism or pride. What is it for you? What is that thing or those things that you hope no one ever finds out about? What is that thing that you would cut off your left arm to stop ever getting out and known about? It could be something you're hugely ashamed of. Maybe it's an event in the long past that just haunts you, that you can't forget, that you're so ashamed of, deeply, deeply ashamed of. Or maybe it's just stuff you've done recently. Maybe even in the last week. What is it for you? But in truth though, it doesn't have to be something significant or one big event that stands out. No, the Bible says that it says it's simply not behaving in a way that meets the perfect standard expected of us by God. Now in Matthew 22, Jesus sums up this standard by talking about two Old Testament laws and commands. Firstly, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. So there Jesus tells us that it is any way that we fail to meet up to these standards. So how do we measure up? Have you always given God 100% of your focus, your attention, your time, your love, your affection? Have you always honoured him in how you've spoken, how you've behaved, how you've used your time and your money and your gifts and your abilities? Does God get the best of you? And then what about your neighbour? What about those people around you? How have you loved them? How do you continue to love them? That might be those people you're living with right now. It might be the people on the same street as you. It could just be anybody you come into contact with. How do you love your neighbour? Are you always honouring them and loving them and putting them first and wanting the best for them? Do you ever lie to people? Do you ever manipulate and trick people? Or do you ever just wish people would leave you alone? You see, if that's the case, then you've got an it. We've all got an it. We all have an it problem, because it is what the Bible calls sin. Big or small, whatever it we have leaves us with a problem. You see, a helpful picture of thinking about it is maybe the picture of debt. So debt is when you borrow something from somebody else. If you borrow it, you have to pay it back. If I was to borrow, say, £10 from Richard, that implies I'm going to pay it back. And he would keep a record of how much money I owe him until I've paid it back. Similarly, when we sin, we build up a debt to God. And we need to make up what we do wrong, and God's going to keep us to account. And that's a good thing, because that means that God's bothered about justice. It means he's bothered about right and wrong, and he's bothered about things being made right. That's a really good thing, because that means the wicked people in this world who do horrible, awful things, they're not just going to get away with it. Justice will be done in the end, and that's a good thing, but the problem is we've all got it ourselves. We all owe debt to God. And even worse, the Bible tells us that none of us can pay that debt back. We can never repay that debt on our own, not even by doing good things. The Bible says that even our good deeds are like filthy rags before God. They're not as good as we think they are. So that leaves us, every time we're not keeping those two commandments, those standards, that leaves us building up more and more debt to God. Now, Jamie and I borrowed some money from the bank when we bought our house. And we agreed with them, we signed a contract saying that we'd pay them back little by little every month, and that every month they would take off what we owe them from a list. But if we didn't pay it back, if they found out we could never pay it back, well, there would be consequences. People would come round to the house, they'd take all our stuff out of the house, and they'd throw us out of the house. There are consequences when we can't repay debts. But the consequences of the debt our sin builds up against God are even bigger and far worse than just being thrown out of a house. See, the Bible says that the punishment for our debt against God, the consequences we all deserve, are our eternity separated from God in his goodness and love, but an eternity being punished and repaying the debt we owe. It's a horrible thing the Bible talks about, but the Bible is really clear about it. Hell is very real. Jesus talked about hell far more than he talked about heaven. And the real kicker is, there's not a single person watching this video that doesn't have this debt. And not a single one of us can pay it off on our own either. So every single one of us, you and me, we deserve this punishment. No matter how good we think we are or try and be, none of us have kept those two commandments at all times. So all of us have this debt. We all have an it. But that is why "it is finished" is such good news. Because the word, as I said, the one word in the ancient Greek that we've got translated as "it is finished" is a word that Jesus used from the world of banking. We're going to learn this word together. It's an ancient Greek word. Here it is. It's pronounced tetelestai. Tetelestai, I'm sure you can pronounce it better than me, but tetelestai. Try saying that. Tetelestai. And this word tetelestai could also very easily be translated as this: paid in full. So imagine we lived in Jesus's day, and imagine that I or you, let's imagine one of us owed somebody else a debt and we just couldn't pay it back. There was no way of us paying it back. What would happen is we'd be thrown into what was called a debtor's jail. They'd lock the cell door, and on that door they'd then pin a notice sheet which would have our name and how much we owed on it, and we would sit in that cell and we would wait until someone somehow could pay that debt off for us. But if someone was kind enough to pay that debt for us, they would take that same piece of paper that was on your door and they'd stamp the word on it, tetelestai, paid in full. And then they'd give you the piece of paper and you'd be free to go. How would you feel if that was you? I think if that was me, I would be over the moon if I'd have been rotting in this jail with no hope of getting out and someone paid off my debt for me and I was free. Oh, I'd be dancing with joy. I'd probably be crying knowing me. I'd be hugging people unless we were still socially distancing. And I'd be singing like it was the end of a Disney film or something. I would be absolutely over the moon ecstatic. And that is the same word that Jesus cries as he dies on the cross. Tetelestai! It is finished! And so, if you and me, if we come to Jesus with all of our it, all of our sin, and we ask him to forgive us and help us to live for him, that is what Jesus says to us as well. It is finished. It's paid in full. You see, at the cross, Jesus was paying the full cost of the debt that we racked up and that we'd built up throughout our lives. See, I can't pay off your debt for you. I've got my own debt to pay. And you can't pay my debt off for me because you've got your own debt to pay. But Jesus didn't have any debt to pay. The Bible goes to great lengths to explain that and show that to us. So because he had no debt to pay of his own, he could pay ours for us. That's what was happening there on the cross. Along with the physical pain of crucifixion that was horrific, Jesus was taking the spiritual punishment that we all deserve for the debt that we've built up. He took all of the consequences of our debt. He paid off all of the debt that our sins have built up. And so as he dies, he cries out so that we can know for definite, it is finished. Paid in full. Nothing left to pay if we just come to him and ask for forgiveness. And the incredible thing about this forgiveness we get from Jesus is that it's permanent. It covers debts we never knew we could even build up, or we never imagined we might build up in the future. You see, if you're a Christian, you're going to continue to mess up. You're going to continue to battle your it. Sometimes that's going to be big things, and sometimes that's just going to be small things you keep fighting and battling against. But the payment that Jesus makes for our debt covers all of that as well. Jesus' payment, the Bible says, is once, but for all sins. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that good news for so many reasons? But just imagine that you've been let out of that debtor's jail. Let's use that picture again. You've got your slip with you, your piece of paper, and across it is stamped, Tetelestai, paid in full. Imagine you bump into somebody who knows you and they say, hang on, what are you doing out and about? I know you. I know what you've done and how much you owed. I know you're guilty. I know what you've done. You should be in prison. Well, the brilliant thing is what you don't have to say is, oh, no, that wasn't me. That was my twin brother. You haven't got to lie about that. You haven't got to make excuses. Oh, I was hungry or tired. It's not really what I'm like. Or that was a long time ago. I'm changed now. No, you don't even need to say, it's not as bad as they made it sound. You don't need to deny the charges. They're accurate. They're correct. Instead, what you do is you just take out your charge sheet and you show them what it says. Paid in full. It is finished. There's no longer any charge. It's no longer a charge sheet. It's your innocence sheet. So the brilliant thing about this phrase, it is finished, is that we don't need to pretend anymore that we don't have an it. We all have an it. Every single one of us. We don't have to pretend we didn't do it. We did it. We're guilty. But we can be certain and we can be assured, no matter how much we continue to mess up, that it has been paid in full. It is finished. If you can't yet call yourself a Christian, if you're not yet somebody who knows they've been forgiven by Jesus and has had their debt completely paid, aren't you tired of hiding who you are and what you're like and trying to be good enough on your own? The truth is, Jesus sees it all, sees you as you really are, and he offers to pay your debt for you. He offers you complete forgiveness to wipe it out completely today. All we have to do is come to him, ask for his forgiveness, and ask for his help to believe that he really has forgiven us, and then live like people have been forgiven. If you want to talk about that, if you know you need your debt paying off, do something about it today. Get in touch with somebody. Get in touch with someone from Avenue Church. Talk about this today. There is nothing more important you can be doing today than this. And for us Christians, This "it is finished" means that we can be honest with God about our failures when they come up again and again, but it also means we can be honest with each other. And then we can together, even through the internet, celebrate the forgiveness that Jesus won for us at the cross. He's paid it all. We can be honest with each other about our failings and ask for help and support with our failings as well. See, admitting we've all got an it and knowing we've all got an it, well, it levels the playing field. There's no hierarchy of people who are better than us. No, we've all got it. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we can't look down our noses at other people, and other people can't look down our noses, their noses at us. It's impossible to look down your nose at someone else when you're flat on your face at the foot of the cross, thankful for everything Jesus has done for us. We don't have to hide from each other. It is finished. And so therefore we can love each other and support each other and point each other to the victory Jesus has won when we are struggling. Even in the middle of a global pandemic or in the middle of family bitterness and arguments as the cabin fever sets in. The wonderful truth is that the battle to defeat a global pandemic is only small fry compared to the most important battle to find a cure and a solution for our sinfulness, our its. And at the cross, it is finished. So no matter what else comes at us this Easter, let's remember this. It is finished. It is paid in full. And if you've got any doubts about how finished this all is at the cross, that's what Easter Sunday makes abundantly clear for us. See, Easter Sunday is like the Father's exclamation mark to the Son's cry on the cross. It is finished. You got any questions? Is it really finished? Well, the empty tomb and the risen Lord Jesus demonstrate, yes, it really is finished. Do you know that today? Does that excite you? Does that move you? Even in lockdown. You see, they can announce today that they found a global cure for coronavirus, but there's still no better news you could hear today than your sin has been paid for fully. It is finished. I hope and pray that that moves you, that that excites you, that that leaves you buzzing. Even during this strange time and even in the middle of your disappointments of a weird Easter. I want to just end by thinking about King David. He was, if you don't know who he was probably Israel's greatest king. He's described at different points in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. He was the leader of the nation of Israel in worship and praise of God so often. Big chunks of the Psalms are written by this guy. And yet he messed up big style. Oh, he had an it. You see, he slept with someone else's wife. She got pregnant, so he tries to cover it up. He couldn't, so he ends up murdering her husband and then trying to hide it from everybody, including God. He thinks he's got away from it. I got away with it all. I love the way the ESV talks about this. In chapter 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, at the beginning of this sorry tale, listen to what it says. It happened late one afternoon. David had an it. The adultery, the murder, the deceit, the covering up. That was his it. And eventually, God confronts David about his sin, and David repents, and you can read his repentance in Psalm 51 if you want to. But David also knows that when he repents, he was completely forgiven. And a lot of Bible scholars think that just after he wrote Psalm 51, David wrote Psalm 32. Just listen to the first few words of that psalm this Easter Sunday morning. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed, meaning happy, or just over the moon. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Not trying to hide the sin anymore. There's no deceiving people that we're better than we are. Blessed is the one who's not trying to deceive everybody, they're better than everybody else. Is this you today? Is that how you feel? Are you blessed? Are you over the moon? Are you happy? It is finished. That's the best news we could ever be told. I wish I could be saying this to you face to face. YouTube is a poor substitute for being together, but none of the distance we're feeling now changes the truth of what we've been thinking about. It is finished and he is risen. Hallelujah.